calling the meeting to order on Thursday, May 10th, 2018. And all board members are present. And the minutes from March 8th and April 12th have been approved electronically and have just been signed by all three board members. And we are to OSU Extension and 4-H update. Okay.
Yes, if I might, at the April,
regarding minutes?
Yeah, at the April 12th meeting, I was the only one here, and so obviously we didn't have a quorum and couldn't do any business. But I did take public comment from people who were here. You know, they come to address the board, and I want to make sure they at least had an opportunity to do that. So I did take public comment. I'd like to direct your attention to three specific items from the notes from that particular occasion. First is item number three, where there was a request, or I'll call it a request, from Kathy Block and Winnie Greenshield regarding an educational greenhouse for master gardeners, which I think perhaps at some point needs some action by us. Item number four, where Deborah Jones made a request on behalf of the Pacific Equestrian Club, and that Todd Williver did state that the dates were without conflict and that he would add them to the calendar. And item number seven, that Michelle has notified the board that she's given her notice, and our last date will be May 18th. And I thank her on behalf of the board for all of the great work she's done for us, but I'd like to reaffirm that also at this particular point.
Same here.
I'd like to bring those three particular items to your attention for action.
Okay, and actually, could I note a couple of corrections to these minutes? Item number five.
Are you on?
The same minutes, yes. Item number five, Ron Goulet, that is a phonetic pronunciation of his name,
yes.
But it's actually G-O-U-L-E-T. And item number seven about Michelle, second line where it says her last day with the Lincoln County would be, I believe the words extension office would be added there.
Well, I guess I didn't see these. Okay, so then April 12th minutes then are corrected in that regard, and then as Jim said, we'll bring forward these particular recommendations or requests. So let's go ahead and hear from Michelle, and then we'll come back to this.
It's my last chance to bring his head on a stick. He may be here next time with my head on a stick. I don't know. We'll see.
Where's Tate?
Just a minute more. I'll get it.
I'd like a photograph, please.
Got it. Thank you.
Nice.
You'll get
a
copy.
So Todd is in an airplane right now on his way back here from Madrid, Iowa, after being there for a shooting sports event. So I checked in with him. Not a whole lot to report, which is great, because that just means things are moving ahead as planned and doing well. You have before you the Lincoln County Fair poster for this year. There may be some slight modifications in working with those logos, but happy to report that Precision Auto and Newport Pond, Jacob with them, has come in a big way as the presenting sponsor for this year's fair. So we're really happy to have them on board and doing our best to let the community know what a big community supporter they are. So this should be out and getting printed here pretty soon. Like I said, just a few last weeks. Casey McEnany again did the poster for us, and once again has done a fabulous job.
Is there anything hidden in this one we should be looking for?
Not particularly.
Okay.
It's, you know.
I'll look at it and see what.
Yeah, but there's a lot of detail that you want to take a look at. You know, the star glasses on the trap and the boat and so forth. So yeah, there's some wonderful detail in there, but no hidden animals or anything to be found this year.
And I assume the fireworks help reinforce that it is 4th of July, right after 4th of July.
And we apologize in advance for whoever might notify you, then don't you know the fireworks are not shot out over there over the bridge? Each year we seem to get somebody who points out the technical inaccuracies in our artistic rendition.
Some people are too literal-minded.
Artistic license.
Yeah, that's what we pointed out. Yes. That in fact, we've done this isn't a picture. So, in any case, we're real pleased with the work that he's done again, and looking forward to get that out into the community. In terms of the fair, again, everything is moving ahead as planned. We're nearly sold out in the inside in the main hall, so that's wonderful to know. We reported last time, I think, that we have on board a zip line, 300-foot zip line that should be there this year, as well as a stunt jump. Both of those we're in the process of getting all that paperwork, and I know he's working with Wayne in terms of all of the liabilities and so forth there. Those ought to be really fun additions to the fair. And then we also are hoping to have a hot air balloon that is actually a fundraiser for military families, I believe. It will be a tethered balloon that if the conditions are right, they'll be able to do rides, just tethered rides up and down at the fairgrounds. So some really exciting additions this year. I'm sorry to miss. Not quite enough to keep me from moving to Australia, but... so that's the essential stuff on the fair, just moving ahead, status quo, and things really kick into gear now in terms of publicity and so forth. Putting on the 4-H hat, if you will. Not a lot happened on the fairgrounds other than our usual after-school program, and we are funded there with a couple of grants. One of them is a grant called the TMS grant, and that grant actually ran out last month, but we're asking for an extension of it, so we asked for our members to give us some feedback and to help encourage that grant provider to extend that grant and use of that money for a little while longer. So those you can read at your leisure. Just a quick summary, though, it was really lovely to hear that the kids are very positively impacted. They enjoy having that safe place to go, the convenience of the fairgrounds being in between all the schools and the bus drop-off and so forth, and then the science learning that's really done in a fun environment everybody is quite enjoying. So you can read those. It's from one of the leaders, a couple parents, and even one of the youth who supplied some feedback for us there. So we expanded that program actually to 4 days now, so we run Tuesday through Friday. The only day we don't have at this point is Monday, so we really hope to continue to have funding to keep that program going next year. And of course, being grant-based is always a little up in the air, but Todd is a wizard when it comes to that stuff, so we're all hopeful it will continue and grow over the next few years as well. So beyond that, just sort of a separate hat, as a friend of County Health and Jessica Palma, who was here and asked for the use of the facility, they had their event this week, and I believe everything went very well. They're very grateful for the use of the main hall, made it possible to do that large event that they really didn't have any other space to do it in. So I know they were pleased with how that all went. So that is about all we have. Any questions on the fair or 4-H?
Very good. Well,
nope.
We're going to miss your smiling
yes.
face.
Thanks.
And your good spirit?
Yeah, well, I'll miss being here. I look forward to seeing how everything goes. And I'll be back. I'll be checking in, that's for sure. I'm keeping my house here. I'll remain a county connected, that's for sure.
So. Good.
All right, very good.
Thank you.
Okay, then before we go on to the B, let's go to Jim's comments. Number 3, what do we have to do in this regard, Jim, from the April 12th?
You can read what they said. They're trying to find properties to install an educational greenhouse for the Master Gardener workshops, about 1,400 square feet, and we'd like consideration of the northwest property corner of the commons along 7th Street. They'd like a permanent place to help grow the program and conduct projects for the 4-H and Boy Scouts, the Village of Water, Electricity, the upcoming Master Gardener plant sale set for May 19th, incidentally. I don't know much more than what is in the notes. It used to be that the Master Gardeners, as I recall, did have a space over on the grounds, although it was close to the exhibit hall, 3rd Street.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So this is something that's kind of, if you will, circled back to us. And I suppose we really need Kathy and Winnie to appear and talk to us a little bit more. I I don't know about cost, for instance. They're talking about that they would need water and electricity. Don't know how much of a problem that would be in the northwest corner, although we do have those, really they were put in for the sheriff's emergency services stuff, as I recall.
That's the
RV spots.
That's the northeast.
I'm sorry, you're right, that's the northeast.
There's the northwest power off the corner. Crow's Nest.
So pardon me? Power off Crow's Nest.
There's power off the Crow's Nest at the arena, so with extension cords, they can certainly get power there.
But there's
but
not water.
There's water in the street,
but I don't know where all the water is. Jack, what do you know about it?
There is a spigot, a standard hose spigot, by the Crow's Nest. It's kind of on the other side of the access gate there.
But I'm assuming if they put a structure like they're talking about in there, that we'd actually have to provide a tap someplace.
We would have to.
And a line to the building.
It and we would have to. We couldn't use extension cords. We would have to install, you know, code specific for that.
Well, it's got to be water in the streets there. A person could run a tap.
We're going to meter it separately from the fair's building. Yeah, we would have the utilities upgrade with the meter.
Mr. Chair, can I suggest one thing related to this? And part of it is to have this discussion with Master Gardeners. They have short-term needs that they want, and then long-term. This is actually something I would suggest that you incorporate into the master plan refinement process.
Right.
We're talking
that was,
about some things, and still, yeah. It's on the table, some things in that northwest corner anyway, in terms of what's there. And this might fit in very nicely with that in terms of the long-term development of the property, and I just have no idea what the cost would be to do it on a short term. But maybe with the idea if they did something short term there, it would be relocated or might be relocated or might be incorporated into the long term redevelopment plan out there.
Yeah.
Well, then there's certainly a series of other unanswered questions, specifically how we would provide electricity, water, who would pay for bills, and all of those kinds of things. So I think we need a lot more information before we can, you know, give them a yes or a no. And Wayne's right about the incorporation in the master plan. But I think we need Kathy and Juanita to talk to us more before we can decide anything.
Would you like us, though, to at least put this into the mix with the master plan process?
Yes.
I'd like to know more before I did that because
this
hasn't even been on our radar screen.
Yeah. Well, I know Master Gardeners were part of the stakeholder groups that's been involved in this thing. I think everybody's talked about this, and it's just now that I think we've got a more specific idea of what they might need. And this is, I think, pretty flexible. And then you're talking about a greenhouse. That's not something, I mean, it's almost you could erect it anywhere on the ground as long as you can provide water and electricity. So, you know, it's probably very flexible. And it's a question of...
There's actually been three separate locations that they've done this in the last 50 years.
Yeah, they've done things in the past. So I think now what we've got is a little bit better idea of how they might be incorporated into this.
But, again, I think we need considerably more information for them before we can...
So,
and I don't disagree with
them. In a chicken and the egg argument, what goes first?
Yeah.
We need them to come and tell us.
So are we inviting them to our next meeting?
I think we should.
Okay. I would agree, yeah. We need more information. I mean, you know, is this a short term, a long term? How much, at least we need a ballpark idea of how much it's going to cost and if they are willing and able to contribute or, we know the things we need to discuss.
Okay, so I think for the minutes, then we'll just show that we're going to invite them. So let's go on to the other. I know we got an email from Deborah in the last day or so.
And apparently the dates are set. What she really wanted to know is the dollar amount.
Didn't she say $100?
$100 per show with possibly four shows.
Seems reasonable to me.
Is that consistent with what?
And then they want access to water and contractors to prepare their meter for each show.
Right? I think that
I don't actually know. I wasn't able to confirm that. So
what?
You know, in the past, I think that was consistent, but it also was a fundraiser for the fair.
Right, and now
and
she's she's talked about July 14th or 15th, August 18th or 19th, September 15th or 16th. She said, by the way, incidentally, that she needs, in each of those three cases, they need one of the dates, and it doesn't matter which one. Todd made the statement that the dates wouldn't be a conflict.
And she says that they want, she wants to refine those dates. She's looking for the approval of the idea of four in that July, August, September time frame, coordinate the dates with Todd, make sure there's no, and you know, also make sure there's no conflicts, so she can get out the advertising and the information on it, and then the $100 per show.
Michelle, did you have anything to add?
Well, yeah, and I know she specifically wanted to know for what the arrangement is. Who is responsible for tilling?
Right.
Who's responsible for watering? How that will be taken care of? Because I know in the past there's been some confusion whether they were supposed to handle or allowed to do it and that type of thing.
And what they're asking for is access to water and the tractor to do the tilling. So they're asking for permission to do those particular things.
Jack, anything?
No, it's normal wear and tear that we'll end up with on the tractor.
Well, we've had some issues with the tractor over there in the past, and people running it, and you know, whether they were really capable. And, you know, the issues we've
had. Well, a certification program in place, we're basically trusting that if you're a farmer, you know how to run a tractor. I don't know how, like I said, without a fair manager on site to do these things, supervision is like herding cats.
We'll let Roy be responsible for certifying the tractor.
I can say that our tractor is undersized for the for that level. I mean, the, once this tractor has, if you used it to its fullest, the next piece of equipment we buy should be
more
magnitude, larger.
Yeah.
You know, just tilling the field with the one we have is very time-consuming because it is so small.
Don't worry, Roy. You can delegate that to your minion.
Minion. Yeah. Can we do this at least? And then, I mean, I'm basically kind of okay with all of this, except that we'd like to put this on you, Jack. But at least. If somebody from their organization is going to operate the tractor, that you at least have some kind of a little, I don't know, walk
orientation.
What I've
done in the past is somebody from their organization, I will walk them through the tractor, and they will show their confidence or not, and then they become basically the trainer for their people.
Okay. You know? Something like that that looks out for our tractor.
Yeah, but to this point, I don't have an insurance disclaimer or anything to that effect that they could sign. I don't have anything like that in place.
Yeah, we'll cover the insurance issues. The PEC actually has pretty good insurance. So,
I have a thought. I have this thought. Is there anyone in town that we could contract with that would relieve Jack or Roy? So in other words, as part of the contract, they would have to arrange a tutorial or something so that it gets it off the back of staff.
I don't think there's any way if we're going to let them use something that belongs to county, just generally, that we can do anything other than at least have a short orientation and skills demonstration by Jack or Roy or somebody, so we know that the person that's on it has some clue what they're doing at least.
So you're confident we have a way to do that?
Yeah.
Okay, so then the other question is your comment about the size of that, isn't that something we're always going to need? Regardless?
Well, we just bought a tractor. How many years ago?
This one's two or three years ago. Yeah.
What size is this one?
This is actually a step up from the previous model.
This is actually better than what we had before.
The previous model was one size smaller than this. We bought the next size up, and it's come to light that it's inadequate as well.
What horsepower is this one?
I think it's 19.
19, so it's a subcompact size.
Yeah, it's
needing something more like the 38 horse or
Would this one have any trade-in value?
Well, they all have.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, unlike the last one, which was oil changed for years and abused.
Not to digress too far into this, but part of the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the one he had before, and that it obviously was not taken care of,
right?
And it suffered mightily as a result, and so forth. I don't want to see that happen.
Right.
Piece of equipment again. So
well, this was on a DM schedule, the fleet. So
the one before, I don't think they ever even changed the oil in it.
This one
we've taken better care of in terms of, like you say, putting it on a PM schedule and doing those kinds of things. And so it should, despite the fact it gets multiple users and stuff, it should still have some value.
The idea behind the purchase of this one was that we assumed that at some point we would have staff. And if you're attempting to keep the fairgrounds clean by doing a little work every day and making a round, then this is more than adequate. But the way it works now is nothing happens for 4 to 6 months, and then all of a sudden we need it all done at once,
right.
And this is inadequate for that sort of that sort of program.
And frankly, the capital cost is minuscule compared to the personnel cost to have somebody on board doing all this stuff on a regular basis.
What makes the current one we have, John Deere?
Yeah, John Deere.
So it's going to have some value.
It's a great value right now.
Right. We've got a good PM schedule on this one and stuff. So, it should have some trade.
Should we explore?
Well, are we ready to explore the idea of a larger one, Jack?
Not much to explore. We would buy a larger mowing deck, a larger tilling deck for it, and some of the equipment that I have for it now, like the forklift attachments, will transfer over to the I think the bucket will do it.
Roughly, Jack, I'm just talking about it, a while back.
This one was 22,000.
Yes, right. 22, so we got a trading value of 10.
A third more for the next size. Two thirds more for two sizes.
Yeah.
You get up around the 30 and 50 horse models. You're looking at probably 30 to 40,000.
And it depends on if you want to stay loyal to John Deere, if you want to look at a Kubota or some other. I mean, there's a lot out there that's available. So,
but my experience is
what you want and get the.
Well, could we just agree to have this discussion again in a month with a little bit more information?
What can I suggest? What I can't do in the meantime is I can do some adjustment because the budget has not been approved yet.
I can do
some quick adjustment to at least have a line item that includes equipment, at least with a placeholder. We'd basically be moving it from one capital side to another capital side, but at least have a little bit of an adjustment in there, and I'll put it in the range of $35,000.
I'd actually like you guys to come back with a recommendation on the machine.
Yeah, I'd like that.
Yeah.
What was that, Roy? You want us to buy your tractor?
Yeah,
you get a new one?
Yeah, I'll sell you my tractor. And you get a bigger one.
Yeah.
So is there a consensus to, because we have some time to do an adjustment in the budget. I mean, it's not going to change the bottom line of budget, but it'd be a line item adjustment. That's something we'd like to see.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Is there a consensus?
Yes.
He heads nodding yes.
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 And
okay.
Then, if at all possible.
We can take a
two sides.
If you guys have the chance.
Okay, so are we clear on that?
If you have a chance, bring us a recommendation.
We'll dig into it.
Okay, so let's go back to what we took a little detour on. On the Deborah Jones thing, since that was what the tractor would be used for, at least partially, we have some consensus on their use of?
Yeah, I'll move to approve Deborah's request.
Okay, so...
I'll second.
So, discussion.
Yeah.
Well, don't you want to second first?
You just did.
My second is conditioned upon review of their operator.
Yes.
Oh, review of their operator.
Yes,
yeah.
I will accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. So, as part of this discussion, we don't need to resolve it today, but it seems to me that if that $100 isn't even sufficient to cover the cost of certifying the operator, that there should be enough money in the transaction to at least hold us harmless on the issue of what is it costing to prepare their people to use our equipment.
I agree. Do we have any idea what we charge before?
That's the one thing I did not get to look at.
We've done this very ad hoc.
It was a different event because my recollection is these events were related to some fundraising for the fair event itself. Is that wrong with that, Michelle?
I think that's a little off, but they schedule, I want to say $500, but that I'm plucking out of nowhere. But they said to do three events and to be scheduled in a year, and then actually they didn't complete those events, so we carried some of those forward into the next year. So this $100, I'm not sure where that number exactly came from. We were definitely working in conjunction with them, but I don't know that I don't believe we were getting that money, but possibly we were, because there was...
No, I think that came in for general operations.
Yeah.
What about $100 per event plus $100 for Jack's checking them out and the use of the machine?
Okay. That's a good way to go for now.
Okay. So it'll be $500 total. Or up to $500 if you want.
Okay.
Well, whatever it is.
Did you get that, Christy?
$100 per event plus $100 for the orientation and tractor.
Right. Okay. Any further discussion? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, it's unanimous. And I guess that's it. Just once again, thank you, Michelle. And let's go on to Master Plan Refinement Update.
The consultants have taken all of the input. We've had so much input on this. And Kingman had a meeting with myself, and I invited Mr. Beisman both in his capacity as a fair board member and with his knowledge of the grounds, to really have some discussions about right-sizing the projects that we want to do out there with the available funding. I've been providing them with information on that, and I gave them much more detail on what we actually have to fund activities out there. And they've taken that back, and they're ready to come forward with a recommendation that falls within the funding that we have. And based on all the info we received right now, with a proposed project, quote unquote, on the site, and actually doing a great deal of work on the economic site. Eco Northwest was actually part of the discussion we had here, extensively talking about generating the economic side of this thing, how we're going to pay for it, what we can possibly generate out there, and how this is actually going to come together as a package. And so they're putting together, they're working diligently to put all that information together in order to make a presentation at the next visioning committee as a proposed plan.
Do we have a date for that?
We have a tentative date right now, and that's one of the things I wanted to discuss with you. And actually, it fits up pretty nicely with your schedule because your next fair board meeting is June 14th, and we were looking at doing it the evening of June 14th.
Doing it the same day?
Same day, that evening. So we have a fair board meeting in the morning, and then that evening would be our meeting with the committee there. And then the desire is to then we want to, obviously present this out. We've made promises to present this out to the entire community. But the tentative dates to come back for our three community meetings geographically spread out on the first one would be on June 26th in the evening, and then we would hold two more on June 27th in different locations of the county. So the 26th and 27th will be the days for our three community meetings. And we still have lots of details to work out in terms of where those are located and the times.
And there would be three on those 2 days?
Yes. There'd be one probably on, I think one of them is a, I want to say a Tuesday, but don't, I should check my,
I should have brought my phone.
Can I have my phone? What is the 26th?
Of June?
June.
It's Tuesday.
So it's Tuesday would be an evening one. There would be one in the afternoon on Wednesday the 27th and one in the evening of the 27th.
So one on Tuesday and two on Wednesday.
And those are all tentative dates.
Do we know the places?
Well, there's going to be one in North County. one in South County, and then one in Central County.
So probably city halls or community centers, yes. Whatever facility yes. happens
we're
to be available.
Working with KC and Christie on locating specific locations.
Okay.
Okay, and so I have a few things. Looking back to our meeting in Depot Bay, it seems to me that it would have been a little better if we'd had a more dramatic way of setting time limits, since it seemed to put several even county staff members at odds. So I hope that we will look into.
We've talked about that. That
a
these
timer.
Be more structured. We've let these be pretty free flowing. We've actually invited stuff. These will be much more structured than we've had in the past.
Casey wants to order a clock timer like Newport City Hall has, and I really think we should.
Yeah, that's.
And have it be portable.
To consider in terms of
yeah.
that part. But what we are going to do is it'll be a much more structured process here. Well, obviously, there will be opportunities for public input, as there always is on these things. But in terms of the presentations and really engaging the committee, that's the first part, you know, is to engage the committee in this process and opportunities for the committee to make their comments and recommendations there.
Right.
And then the public forums will be, again, also structured in terms of presentations. But we want to make sure there's an opportunity for community input at those public meetings, too.
I have a comment. I'm not.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we need to have these public meetings. We need to get comment and so forth and so on. But I'm getting a little worried about paralysis by analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at some point, we're going to have to simply make some decisions and say, it's X, Y, and Z, and let's go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if we really, we could go on with the analysis as we already have for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to keep us on track with the idea that in a not too far distant future, we'll take care of these meetings that you're talking about and we get the final refinement from the consultant. But we have it in our minds that we're not going to let this drag on too long. You know, I mean, we could refine and refine and refine and refine. At some point, we just have to decide, okay, this is our project, this is what we're going to do. If we're going to do something, or we're not going to do anything at all, doing nothing is always an option. But
can I suggest the one thing that makes this more difficult than the normal project we've been dealing with is that we've also had this alternative funding source that sits out there, and that's the $3 million in the urban renewal funds and how those might be best utilized, when they have to be utilized, when they're available. So we did have some discussions with the city related to that particular funding and how this ties in. The city is undertaking, beginning actually this month, I think they're going to select, that might be in June, that they actually are selecting a consultant for an update of their transportation plan, their TSP, transportation system plan. That part of incredibly important part of that is to look at the Highway 20 corridor in there, and that includes the intersection of Harney Street and Harney Street as it extends to the north. So there's a lot of decisions that the city will be having a lot of input. The city will be doing, you know, related to their development of their overall plan for this particular area, and that ties into their urban renewal funding. One of the things that may actually benefit us with the proposal I think you're going to see on this is that we'll understand a little bit better about the timing of some of the improvements like to Harney and 20, and whether or not that those things, that we don't have to wait for those things, that we can proceed. We had an extensive discussion with the city about parking. I was not understanding the parking requirements there. It just seemed like they were really out of whack with what we're doing. We have a much better understanding now with the proposal we're going to look at as to what those parking requirements are going to be and how that's going to integrate into an overall plan. I think that there was just not a complete understanding of how that works. We're feeling much more confident based on the conversations now that we can bring you a proposal and a design from the consultant is going to address those problems. And it may be that we don't have to do some of the improvements we thought we would have to do. Immediately we can proceed with whatever project we want to do, and then those things can come at a later date when you access some of that funding from the city.
Before you go on, I just want to interject this one thing, because Bill and I were talking about it before. You just mentioned the city, and that was that email from David Allen.
Oh, yeah.
Will you be taking care of that?
Yes.
Okay. So then coming back to Jim, you want to comment?
Yes, please. That I think the facilitation of future master plan meetings and these three public meetings has to be much tighter, much more structured. It has to be made abundantly clear. We're here for one purpose, one person purpose only, to refine a master plan, not to re-argue things that have been argued and decided over and over again. And if somebody wants to come in here and yell at us about we're not doing enough for housing, to shut it down. This is not the forum for it.
And I know you did an admirable job, because you always end up getting to be the point person. It'd be nice if we had our straw man who gets invoked whenever it goes off track.
And frankly, I've had that discussion with the consultants.
Do we have somebody that we could...
Well, the consultants will step in and do what they weren't doing, in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, because I was very distressed to hear, for example, I didn't realize it at that meeting, the Celeste tribal representative asked to be recognized. She got skipped over, and yet that one fellow, talked again and again, including his loud exit speech as he headed out the door, and that just really bothers me.
So, Jim, you have given us what you would like to see at the end of this. What we need is a process.
Yeah.
I know you would like to have all of this resolve itself, but still, as Bill says, we need to have something at those public meetings that someone with some authority has to deliver as these are facts.
Yes.
These facts are decided.
Yes.
You're going to come here and talk about workforce housing. I'm sorry, that is already gone under the bridge.
Yes.
But they still think they can get their wedge in, so how do we deal with that?
Well, that's the difficulty when you have an open public process here, is people can come in and they're going to say those things. And I think, again, what you really do is you focus on the committee. That's what we're looking for, is the committee recommendations. I don't think you're going to ever preclude somebody from making their comment. You structure it so that those comments, are... limited. It's not a free for all. It's not I can talk louder than the next person, so I get to go, kind of thing. So it just has to be a much more structured process, and it really needs to focus in on the issue we're talking about here.
Jim, I guess my real comment is more, put it another way, is this: if I had waited on every project that I've done in my career until I had all the answers and everything perfectly refined, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I would have never built a single one.
Of course not.
At some point, you have to say, we've got as good information as we can reasonably get. We're going to need to make a decision on that basis and move forward. There will undoubtedly be, when we get into the project, some wrinkles, some things come up. That's why you had a contingency fee, for instance, and so forth. But I mean, these people can keep coming and keep giving us refinements and all of that kind of stuff, and we can keep refining and so forth and so on. We're never going to have a perfect answer to them. So we just, at some point, say, okay, we've done due diligence. Yeah. We know as much as we can reasonably expect to know. Let's make a decision. Let's go.
Yeah.
And I think what we're doing, the little
in agreement
here is, because we started with this process of allowing the vision to be broad, and then we were, getting these check-ins about what that vision might cost, and they were exceeding the resources we had available. And I think that's, in 2020 hindsight, did we need to start that broad? Maybe we should start it a little closer in, but these are the resources we've got here.
Yeah.
This will be the ground truth, so to speak, on this particular project, to say, here are the resources. Here's what we've got. Here's what we can do with those resources. And this will be a much more compelling explanation of what it is we've got in terms of resources and what it is we can actually do with those resources.
At best, we'll probably get to about the 90-95% before we start building.
What if we announce that immediately following the 2019 fair that we will have a groundbreaking and demolition ceremony, just to make it clear, to one more way to make it clear to people that this thing is moving forward? And is,
I wouldn't disagree with doing that, except that I would want to
we haven't designed the actual
that's what I'm going to give a year to
the basic point of saying this is our project, we're going to proceed with it.
Yeah, but a year to complete design and hopefully get a contractor in place.
Okay, you're off on the future, but let's talk about, let's stay focused here. Okay, David Allen's question of you is in part, I think, a direct result of the folks who have come forward with this workforce housing project. In other words, they're trying to build a case for derailing things, right? Part of it was the legal ownership of the property. Mm-hmm. That was explored. Mm-hmm. We now believe, at least I'm of the impression, that that's no longer an issue. So that would be one of the things I would have in my preface to the public meetings, however you want to present it. But unless you don't anticipate any further comments from that group.
Well, no, but again, that goes back to the initial question of, do you want to locate this on this property or not? Which, you know, and you've made that decision. I mean, that's a question I think for you as decision maker.
Yeah, it's all
what we're going here.
Yeah, this
you
is
want to explore other sites. Do you want to go back and rehash the whole
no.
Question? All right.
So,
Frank, we don't need to even go there with any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Say anything about the ownership or
that's my point exactly. In other words, at the beginning of these public meetings, there are certain facts that have been established.
Yeah.
Now, can we categorically say to the public that if there is discussion unrelated, in other words, can we force the conversation to focus
on things that are actually germane, smoke, mirrors, and obstacles?
You can do that by simply saying these decisions have been made. Now, what if somebody wants to question that decision? That's the problem you've got in a public process here.
So public comment, we can't limit public comment in any way.
Yes, we can.
No, I think you can.
Can
I think
we?
You can
yes,
say
we can.
We want this to the comment to come towards this redevelopment plan.
Yeah.
See. That redevelopment plan could be someone saying, it's not needed, don't do it.
You know, okay,
that,
so
that's a comment.
So let me go. So on June 14th, we're going to meet here again.
Yeah.
Yes.
Will the consultants be here?
At
our meeting.
Yeah.
We could have them here if you'd like them here.
I would like them
here. That would
here
be nice.
So that night, when you have a meeting scheduled, we will have already had a discussion about what our public comment is intended to focus upon.
Yeah, okay.
Otherwise, we're still general. We're still out there.
Yep.
Is that all right?
That's fine with me. Anything that we can do to get it focused in.
Okay.
And Mr. Allen is certainly entitled to the information he requested, but it's, again, really not relevant to this process. It doesn't, it's just one more straw man that the opponents want to use to try and, I don't know, somehow discredit or derail the project. It doesn't matter if we've spent $50 or $500,000 on consultants.
No,
it's just irrelevant.
I've already provided.
Yes. Oh, okay.
So not to David,
but to others. Okay.
Others, yes.
Okay.
Because going back to your comment, it's $3 million on the line.
Yeah.
And what is possibly going to take that off of the table? And David seems to be the only person who's at the focal point,
mm-hmm.
as far as I can tell, unless you know something else. He's the one who's basically carrying the message to the city council.
Well, and they're letting me come in, and I've been doing presentations to the city council.
Yeah.
All right, so as I understand it, on June 14th, we hope to have the consultants here.
And there will be an evening meeting now, tentatively?
Now, the Multi-Purpose Visioning Committee, or whatever we're calling them, would they be invited to our meeting at 10 o'clock?
Because their meeting's at 6 o'clock
okay.
when they're going to hear the presentation.
So they're going to
get... You want to meet with the consultants. This is a public meeting.
Okay.
Anybody can come to this
meeting. There be a public comment period the night of June 14th? And if so, will we have that at the beginning or at the end?
That's the discussion we can have.
Okay.
My inclination would be to have it at the end and say subject to time availability, but that it is the primary purpose of that meeting is for questions and discussion and input from the committee.
That's the meeting.
From the committee or from the consultants?
For the committee, for the consultants to make a presentation and for the committee to react to it.
Yes.
And then if... I think we should also put a time frame on it so it doesn't become a marathon contest, like maybe 2 hours, say.
Well, the thing is that a certain individual seems to go around always admonishing public officials that they are required to have a public comment period in all of their meetings. And so
public meeting law does not require public comment. What we have said during this process is we're doing a robust outreach to the public about what we're doing here.
There's no legal requirement that every public meeting have.
The public meeting is that people can't attend.
Yeah. Not that they have input.
Not comment.
Most public entities and most public meetings have a public comment.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, let me rephrase
right.
just a little bit.
That's
to
correct.
See how this kind of lays out for you. Is it possible for us to, at some point, and we're going to have these meetings we've already mm-hmm. agreed to mm-hmm. with public comment, but say that we have put out this robust public comment mm-hmm. process, blah, 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 and at our meeting on June 30th or whatever it is, that's going to be the last opportunity for public comment.
Yeah, well, these three meetings will be the last opportunity.
I
agree. Yeah.
Speaking in generalities here, forget about the actual exact date.
Mm-hmm.
Just say that this will be the end of the public comment process at this particular meeting. From that point forward, the decision will be made then by the Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners.
Right.
And actually, what the consultants will do will come back and we're after all this and present a recommendation to you.
Yeah.
Here's the plan.
Yeah.
And then we're going to make a decision on that. But my point is, beyond that date, that meeting, whatever it is.
I'm with you totally, Jim.
We're no longer taking public comment with respect to what we're going to do. No. We've given numerous opportunities for that. We've listened to all of that. But now, okay, thank you very much. We're done. Now we have to make a decision.
Because this has been going on for so damn long that ideas that were vetted and discarded, 8 years ago, like moving the fair to the Toledo Industrial Park, are popping up again, and people think it's a brand new, wonderful idea.
But again,
it's ridiculous that it is dragged on this long.
At some point, we say the public comment opportunity for this project is completed,
and that's what this is.
I'm with you totally, Jim. We got a
meeting, and then the three outreach.
Yeah, that's the end of it.
Okay,
yep.
One related question, and that is, what is the status of the visioning committee beyond the final recommendation?
That's it. They've done their job.
Okay, and was that made clear in the letter of invitation? Do we know?
Well, then they're supposed to make a recommendation, yes.
Yeah, unfortunately, I asked Kevin Greenwood... we did not send detailed letter of invitation in advance, but he did indicate he met with each member individually, briefed them on the scope of the work. I mean, I wish we had something in writing so we could refer back to that, but he went over,
well,
he said...
We have our agreement with the consultants as to what that process
yes.
would result in.
Yes, yes, he went over, he said he went over that in some detail yeah. with each of them individually, what the sideboards and what the role of the committee was.
And that's all well and good, but again, my point would be that we clearly and plainly put forth that
yes.
this is it.
As my late father would say sometimes, if you have to spell it out with a set of blocks and a sand pile, you do that.
You do it.
Yeah.
And this is going to be it. Beyond yeah.
right.
this point.
But I'm making a distinction now,
yes.
so we're very clear, between public comment and the
committee action.
The committee.
Yes.
Okay, because at some point we should use language that begins to thank them for participating in this process, but this process is going to end.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we're then into our actual plan.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If I had my brothers about it, I guess I would do it this way. Again, I would put out there that beyond certain such meeting, we are no longer taking public comment. We've provided ample opportunity for that. Then we have a meeting where the consultants are going to come in and present the plan. Mm-hmm. We invite the visioning committee to be here with us when the consultants lay out that final plan. And then we ask the visioning committee, because we have asked them to do a lot of different things, but we say, okay, this now is the plan. Is there anyone on the visioning committee who sees a fatal flaw with the plan? Give them one, between that last public comment and our final decision, give them one last comment to review the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And then, if nothing comes out of that meeting of substance, I mean a substantial fatal flaw or something, then we say, okay, the Fair Board now intends to recommend the board, however it is we're going to do it.
Yep.
We now proceed with this plan. But I would, the visioning committee, you're right, Frank, is unique. I would like to give them one opportunity between the plan as presented now, finalized by the consultants, and our decision to review it and say, you know, this is maybe not everything we wanted or whatever it is, but I'm really looking for the fatal flaw.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
That is feedback on the plan, not throw out the plan and start all over again.
No. It's just their
yeah.
opportunity to look at the plan. They're part in the process.
Yep.
They've heard all of this. Do they see anything that's a fatal flaw? Don't tell me you want, you know, X over here instead of Y. Just, do you see something that is so wrong with this that we need to stop? Otherwise, it's a go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, other than the one person at the Depot Bay meeting who I think threatened or did resign...
I think she threatened to resign, but we haven't received any resignations,
have we?
We
haven't received any formal resignation.
No.
Okay. So then, because Kevin has been out of the loop,
mm-hmm.
we haven't had any constant communication with that group, and I would like to see us do something between now
and 14.
Over the next couple of months so that they don't hear from us just once a month, but, okay, we met today... We're talking about, you know, even if it has to be general, could we do that? Just so, because, you know, this input issue that has come up with that group, even though it's just been a couple of people,
mm-hmm.
nevertheless, there have been limited opportunities to give input. So I would like mm-hmm. to be able to kind of make them feel like they're in our loop. As opposed to being kind of distant
sure.
from us? Is that our...
Sure.
Is that
I
go a little bit further. I'd kind of like to just lay out for the visioning committee what I just laid out, which is to say,
yeah.
you know, a letter, an email, whatever it is, going to the visioning committee that says, here's the go-forward plan. We're going to have these meetings, blah, blah, blah. At that point, the consultant is going to prepare their final proposal on what we do. There will be a joint meeting of the Fair Board of Division and Committee to look at the final plan presented by the consultant, looking for any fatal flaws. And assuming that nothing comes out of that meeting, then the Fair Board will proceed with the plan as presented. In those basic terms, and let the Visioning Committee know that they still have a very important role to play here, and that we've selected them, we value their input, and we're going to give them, after everything's done, we're going to give them one final shot at it, if you will, in their function as the Visioning Committee.
Okay.
And assuming no fatal flaws come out of it, then we have a plan.
And I see Wayne. I guess the only thing I would ask as a preface is to capture those earlier thoughts that Jim and Bill have had about these are the things that have been decided. Without lecturing.
I mean, we've already sent them that, but it would help to restate it. Yes.
I know, but really there's a minority in that group.
A vocal minority.
Yes. And so as long as the majority feels included and so forth, we're good to go.
Yes.
I understand that.
And they will support what we say has been decided.
Yes.
That's all that matters, because if it finally has to be a vote, which I don't think we've ever actually employed.
No.
No, at all. No. Okay. So I don't think any of what we've just discussed requires a vote, does
no.
it?
No.
Okay. So in that case, are we done with the master plan refinement update?
We are.
All right. County staff update.
Here he comes.
Give him his minion.
Okay.
Christy, go ahead and start the timer.
A minion also rhymes with opinion. We like your opinion.
We like my opinion. I actually have no opinion. I'm just the messenger. Anything to say about the messenger?
Yeah.
I don't think that's how that goes.
That's usually the procedure. Kill the messenger.
Israel's property.
All right. I'm here doing business for Amy Howard.
Okay.
She put out an email on Friday. Some of you may have received it. It looks like Jim may have. We CC'd in it. It just says, just a reminder that all requests for usage of the fairgrounds needs to go through this office, meaning Amy's office, with the exception of certain 4-H functions. I'm not sure what she's talking about there. But anyway, so that we may get the proper paperwork and approvals completed. She wanted me to read that, so it was entered into the minutes for the meeting. And it sounds like what it was something that wasn't a huge deal, but somebody was given permission to do some metal detecting on the fairgrounds. Amy happened to drive by, see somebody out there, asked them about it. They were said, well, I have not permission. Well, it didn't go through her. The proper paperwork wasn't done, and so it caused a little bit of a wrinkle. So just as a reminder, even when it seems to be completely, totally innocent, not a big deal, she still would like for everything to go through her, so she knows. And because of the location of our office, we look right down on the fairgrounds. Anytime there seems to be something suspicious, one of us goes down and takes a look, and that way we're in the know, and we don't have to look.
Okay.
I can amplify a little on that, having talked to Amy numerous times over the years, and it fundamentally boils down to the 4-H exception, because 4-H has so many different events on there that 4-H and scheduling 4-H and so forth has been turned to Todd Williver. He's to put it on the calendar and so forth, so Amy knows, but Amy doesn't schedule 4-H and so forth. It's the other activities that occur down there that run through her office. And she's exactly right. She needs to know, even a minor, large, whatever it is, if an event is going to occur on the ground, so that she has the proper paperwork in order. Sometimes that means, for instance, she has to get insurance from them, or a if it happens to be an event where they're serving alcohol, she needs to know that the appropriate security in accordance with our policies has been put in place and so forth. But she has to be the central clearinghouse for all non-4-H things, large or small, if there's to be any coordination or control of what's happening on the site. And that's what she's saying. She's exactly correct.
I wanted to comment on that because, and I'm feeling a little embarrassed because I can't remember who it was, but somebody called me and said that they couldn't reach anybody in this regard. And then I went to the Lincoln County website to see if I were just somebody wanting to get in touch, and I couldn't figure it out. In other words, you know, irrespective of who called me, I went as if I wanted to know who to contact, and I had trouble navigating the website to get to a number for, say, Amy Howard. Might want to just have Casey.
What's a little bit confusing is, frankly, our name changed to Comet. Everybody looks for the fair, and you start searching on the thing for the fair, and all of a sudden you don't say anything, and then it goes to Comet, you find all the stuff. Uh-huh. So maybe we need to also make some kind of language.
Cross-referencing something.
Because we really tried to brand, you know, follow the branding for the name of the product.
I haven't looked here. We're probably entirely correct, Frank, and we need to make some maybe adjustments to what our website looks like and everything, but Amy's fundamental premise is right on the mark.
Yes,
I understand.
She's the keeper of the keys, old sweater. Michelle?
Just a quick note, just because the metal detecting was brought up, I happened to be around when that guy was down there at one time. One of the challenges that we run into is the fairground is open anytime that Pick of the Litter is open, and anytime we have a 4-H event there, so people end up down on the grounds. And that fellow actually just happened to see Todd looking kind of official and came up to him and said, hey, is this okay that I'm doing this out here on the grounds? And obviously, because we can't police the area when it's open to people, he said, you know, just stay out of these areas, and yes, of course, not going to police that, but we are careful to always make sure that those requests that come to us, because people know that we do a lot there, that they come back to you for anything other than a 4-H event. So and I'll mention that part of it to them as well.
And again, Michelle's correct. I mean, the grounds are open, people can go down and wander around on them, but people who seek, again, an activity, large or small, 4-H, they see Todd, anybody else sees Amy.
Speaking of that, the fact that we get the names are still commons and fairgrounds and so forth, and that's those two highway signs, you know, there's one on 101 and one on 20 that say fairgrounds, and so eventually
you have to change all that.
We'll have to, but it's not nothing we have to do urgently. Anything else on county staff update? Yes, sir.
Number two, Wayne had called Ethan about locating and documenting the location of a water line. Did you ever call him back?
Ethan and I talked, but we didn't actually talk about that particular issue.
We talked about something else on the property, not that.
And I guess
I haven't actually.
And it sounds like you were wanting him to locate the line on between Harney and Dow Pound, correct?
Do you recall what we were looking for? Which one?
Well, just in general, what I'm still looking for, and last time I talked to Wolfensman, I've been gone for the better part of 2 weeks, but what I was looking for was, I think he had done it electronically, but I don't know that it's been done as a print. The surveyor's office, as you know, has located everything they can with respect to utilities and easements for utilities.
Correct.
And they also have digitized, I believe, the, I'll call it 1960, it's about 1960, topo map that was used when they put in the sewer and so forth.
Right.
And Ethan has either already done it electronically or partially done it or whatever it is. He was going to generate a full-sized sheet for me, one that I could actually work on, that showed everything that they had been able to locate in utilities, utility easements, elevations of the manholes, and things like that. And then he was going to electronically overlay that 1960 topo. So I could get some idea from, like, the existing manhole rim elevations and invert elevations, what was fill on the site and how deep it was.
Understood, but I think that there may be need of some clarification. John's been out. Ethan brought this up to me first of the week, I think, that he had called for locates because he was going to have some things located and was turned down. His request was turned down because it's basically outside of any public right-of-way. It's on property. And so he had talked to somebody from the city of Newport that, and we, well, very well know that they don't know exactly where their facilities are, so he was kind of running into an issue about where to go. He asked me about it. I knew just enough to be dangerous. And then we all do. I mentioned it to Wayne, but I think that he's looking for some more direction on where to go with this. And so if somebody could take the time to sit down with him for 10 minutes or 15 minutes and get him refocused in the direction that he needs to go, then he can continue on and finish up what he's attempted to start.
Is he there today?
Yes.
I was expecting to be there after lunch.
Well, I don't keep his calendar, but I would assume so.
Okay. If you'll talk to him, that's great, because you know what's going on. I will swing by the office after lunch and try and see Ethan, or I will make contact with Ethan. Okay. And talk to him specifically about what I'm looking for.
I think that would be the conversation that needs to be.
For the rest of you, this goes back to the issue we have talked about before about just exactly what is on the site in terms of the utilities, how deep they are, where they're located, where the fill was placed on the site, and those types of things. This is really some work I'm trying to do with the civil that's on the consultant's team. And
that information would be valuable for a lot of reasons, I assume, like propose putting the exhibit hall on top of fill that's on top of multiple utility lines.
It's no good for us.
Yeah.
It's like we found out we're by the sinkhole.
Yeah.
Well, when Wayne and I talked to the consultant, they're talking about, for instance, the pavilion over the roundup ground.
Uh-huh.
All right, well, if we put a pavilion over the roundup grounds, then we're going to have to put some pretty substantial arch trusses or something to go and hold up the roof.
And we've got to know that the soil will support that, or are we going to have to do new soil?
Excavate down 30 feet? Are we going to have to drive pile? I mean, this information will be helpful in getting some idea of what it's going to take to actually construct something out there,
and
where we have a reasonable chance of constructing it.
And just further, even though we don't really have to do this, it's just further evidence, I think, for people who have this pipe dream that site would be suitable for hundreds of low-income apartments.
Part of the reason for putting this together was to point out the problems that we do have with utilities and fill on the site.
Yeah, if you want to spend who knows how much to relocate a bunch of utilities and replace fill, I mean, as you've said, Jim, anything is possible if you're willing to spend enough money. But
and the idea was that this would give the consultant engineer and myself a better feel for where that stuff is.
It will be very
useful. I know where some of it's at because I've dug the holes out there.
Yep.
But this will help me get a better feel for where that fill is, how deep it is, where the utilities are in relation to it, et cetera, et cetera. Now, when we do get to construction, the engineering for the construction, we are still going to have to do some geotech exploration out there. This is not going to take the place of that.
But it's an interim step.
Although it may be very helpful in helping us determine where we need to do the geotech
exploration.
So this is part and parcel of those various things. The housing issue, figuring out where we may or may not need to do something with regard to the actual project, et cetera, et cetera. It has multiple purposes.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else, Roy?
Only thing that I can think of is at some point in time here, relatively soon, I'll have to probably take out another permit for the closing of Harney.
Oh, yes.
anything different?
No, I don't
think
so.
You know what I've told you.
I know, yeah. I know.
But
I know. I believe that we have the right to close Harney.
I understand that.
We signed with the city to
without a permit
through there. I am not a believer in asking for permission for what I already have the right to do. So I'm unwilling to go and take a permit, quote unquote. I think we owe them
notification
and,
yeah,
so forth that on such and such a days we intend to mm-hmm. exercise our right.
Per the agreement
of
19, whenever.
In terms of a permit.
Yeah.
Every year,
no.
I send in the same information that says yes by this year. It states we have the right to do so. But I will go ahead and fill out your 2-bit application. That's what I do.
I guess in terms of good relationship,
it's
yeah.
kind of like, yeah, I think that at least for now,
yeah,
while we've got our hands out, we need to.
Well,
I don't have any problem with you doing that as long as you stayed up front. We have the right to do this.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to give this.
And you're saying that you have. Yeah.
Every
year. Yeah.
I think this is a bigger question because we're talking about a lot of years ahead.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean the years when we're done with this, but I mean the years to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might be nice if you generated a letter and say, you know, in anticipation of a lot of activity over the next few years, everybody needs to get on the same wavelength. You know, we have the permission. Now, if you don't think it's necessary, that's fine, but just
well, I tell you what,
I'm listening to somebody who's a scofflaw here.
I can almost guarantee you this, that the city will watch it. Who is it? That permission for the fair event at such time as we do the full redevelopment.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, so be it. But at the moment, yeah, at the moment we're exercising our right. We're
mm-hmm.
exercising our
mm-hmm.
right. I think you want to do a very good job.
Okay.
You don't have any problems. You state that up front. But as a courtesy, I'm going to do this. I'm okay. Mm-hmm. We've talked about it before.
Yeah, no, I want to. I wasn't so much questioning that part of it. It was just making sure that there isn't some unique twist to this year's event. So that is
the only thing that's different about this year's event that makes it a little bit different is the day.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I know.
New weekend.
Proximity to 4th of July, so when, you know, what date are you actually looking at?
Well, I'm going to talk with Todd about the actual closure because him and I have had multiple conversations about trying not to close it any earlier than absolutely necessary because it does put such a pinch on basically lines of travel through that portion of town.
I don't have any time for it.
Okay, we're done with this meeting. You guys can talk afterwards. Anything else for the good of the order?
There's
anybody?
No public comment. No, for the record, there's no public comment.
No public comment.
Can I have 2 minutes with both of you?
Sure.
All right, we're adjourned.